This is a story I've been working on. It's called Trompe L'Oeil. You remember what Trompe L'Oeil is? It's a French expression that means trick of the eye, a deception in art, where something is painted so truly that you reach your hand out to touch it. This is the continuing story of an artist who's quite mad, who refuses to believe that the woman he loves has been killed. An artist who has the power to do something about it. The artist's name is Simon Lister. Have you heard of him? Quite a few years ago, he was the most important painter alive. I found him living in the Canary Islands. He's given me one of his old diaries to read. The diary's dated 35 years ago in New York City. At that time, he had just committed what the newspapers were calling the art crime of the century. He was hiding in a rooming house on the Lower East Side. He had a mental breakdown and was no longer able to speak. His handwriting is fine, small, an artist's hand, yet I can see that he's written the words quickly in various degrees of emotion, fear, happiness, pain. Let him tell you what became of him. Let him describe his madness in his own words. So many years ago, in New York City, on John Jay Street. Part 2. The Story of Trompe L'Oeil. A Trick of the Eye. "What is it you do, sir?" The old guy on the ground floor catches me passing his room yesterday. His doorway showing a slit of amber gloom, Maurice. His sir is all New York, standard suspicion, challenge. "I notice you like to keep irregular hours, sir." "Mrs. Connors probably told him that I can't speak." What a beautiful eyesore Maurice is. He has stepped out of Hieronymus Bosch's backyard. Not a tall man, blunt, Maurice. Nose like a macaw's, squirrel-tail eyebrows. Map-like stains on his forehead. From what? Lips of an aged cherub. Maybe he'll allow me to draw his head. He wants to know details. He doesn't want hallway chit-chat from me, not Maurice. Accuracy. He's defending the halls of his rooming house against me, worried by my presence in the building. He knows the step of everyone who walks past his door, who enters and leaves, but he doesn't know mine. I'm still new here. I'm quiet. I wear tennis shoes. He can't hear me pass. He only senses me passing. It worries him. For Mrs. Connor, Maurice is trying to figure something out about me. I can't see what else he's got to do. He doesn't work. He's chairman of the rooming house, I suppose. I'm sure Mrs. Connor gives him a break on his rent. "What is it you do, sir?" he persists. I can't remember the last time anyone's asked me what I do. Do? They've always known. It feels free, my not knowing. Like not having a country, a flag. Refreshing. I wrote the word artist on my pocket pad for him to read. To Maurice, it is the definition of a bum. He glanced up, dubious. He wonders if I'm an artist. Why am I mute? He doubts everything. He wonders if anything's true about me. His sour New York instincts are right. He craves specifics. He wonders if my name's really John Boot. It isn't, of course. I wrote it on a piece of paper for Mrs. Connor when I paid 3 weeks' rent in advance. "Hello, I am John Boot," I wrote. "He needs to know my plans." I write. "When I know, I'll tell you," in block letters. He doesn't smile. "Why are you growing a beard?" he asks. I write, "Warmth." He doesn't like that. I can't talk. I truly wish I could. I wish I had something to say that would help. If I lived in some lighter town, I'd talk. Some less serious place. Some unclenched, village somewhere that's gotten over itself. But New York's got problems that exhaust me with being New York.